latter part of the test. I think if we can maintain that speed, we'll get through the question.
Excellent. Good. Then I am moving on with my checklist. Shane, I have a question for you. Have you tracked the ISS recently?
Yes, I have. Still, I tracked it on the last pass.
Okay, and antenna track in azimuth and elevation okay?
Correct, yes, I'll check that also.
Is this a flip mode pass?
Yes, it is.
And flip mode is enabled?
It is, yes.
Okay, time check?
22 minutes, 36 seconds.
Check. Are your caps up to date?
They certainly are. Updated this morning.
Thank you. Have you confirmed the frequency the ISS will be using?
I have. Both primary and secondary.
Good. And let me see here before I forget. Yes, well, you know the procedure, Shane. You will be asked for a brief overview. I'm just looking a little bit further down the line. It's further down the line, yes, exactly. It's an open disclosure level on the radio so we can check that the school can hear the audio coming from the ISS properly.
Sure, now if we can put this one back over to Kate. So Kate, what I'm going to do is I'm going to open the mute on the radio so you'll hear just white noise. I just need to make sure or confirm from your end that you've got enough level from my system. So are you ready to do that test, Kate? Okay, here we go. Stand by. Okay, is that loud enough? Okay, stand by. Sorry, someone say something? Nothing? Okay, stand by. Is that loud enough? Okay, no worries, I'll leave it at that. Okay,
excellent.
That's over to you.
Thank you, Shane. All right. Now, Kate, as you know, you will be asked for an introduction, roughly 1 to 2 minutes, roughly 5 minutes before the contact starts. So 5 minutes before the contact starts, I will tell you when you will be asked for a 1 to 2 minute introduction. I also want to remind you to have the first student ready ISS microphone so that we can move on, just like we did during the exercise. And also, as soon as student number one has asked a question, you take a step aside and the next student moves into place in order to start to be ready for the question. Now students, listen carefully to what is going on on the radio, because what is very important is that you say over, because every time you say over, Shane will know when to flip the switch to transmit mode. And then hopefully, the astronaut, will also say over at the end of this transmission, upon which Shane will switch the transceiver. And when you hear Tim say over, you start asking your question directly. So don't wait to be prompt. If you hear over, you start your question. And of course, don't forget to say over at the end of the question. At the end of the event, when all the questions have been asked or when we are just about to lose signal, Shane will let you know when we can send a big bang to Tim Kopra. And a big bang, of course, is a loud hollering in the audience and a lot of applause. And I think it would be quite interesting to hear what it sounds like from our end. So if everybody can give a big applause now. Wow, that was quite impressive. I'm pretty sure they already heard that applause, that round of applause, even though they're not in range yet, because I could hear it all the way here. So that, if you can keep that level, that would be great. Now, for everyone in the public, I know that all of you have these little gadgets which we call cell phones. I would appreciate it if you turn them off, or if you do not want to turn them off, that you turn them to flight mode. And with that I mean flight mode. So in other words, vibration or silent mode is not okay. Why? Because the cell phones can cause interference on the public address system. And for all of the, for all of those of you who have listened to television with a cell phone on, every now and then you will hear the nagging little voice, and this is the kind of noise we do not want to have. So please do switch them off right now. Thank you. Now, everybody needs to be quiet. No cheering or clapping until the end of the event. And also, and this is very important, we may not have time to get all the student questions answered. So, but of course, we will give it a big shot. So I think you're well prepared, and I think you will be doing fine. We have about 17 minutes to go before the space station comes into range of Shane. Right now, it seems to be over Russia, coming in over China, roughly, looks like it. As I said, my name is Esko. I'm located in Sweden, more specifically 45 30 miles to the north of Stockholm. And, pretty close to Stockholm, and I am the moderator for today. And we have Shane Lind, who is in Queensland in Australia, and he is going to help us today. Now, Shane, you can maybe give us some information about your station, what it looks like, etc. So go ahead, Shane.
Yes, I'm Excel. Well, the equipment we're using here today, my ARRIS ham station, I've got both a primary transceiver and a secondary transceiver. Both of them are ASU-FT847s, for those that have a ham radio background. The antennas that we'll use, we've got today, we'll use two of the N-squared 16-element cross Yagis with a pre-amplifier. And it's all tracked, of course, using SAT-PC32 software. If you're interested a little bit about my location here, I'm located in a fairly remote location. It's a mining community about 200 kilometres inland from the city of Mackay in central Queensland, Australia. I mentioned to Eskil yesterday via email that we're actually going through fairly difficult times here weather-wise at the moment, just like you've been in some parts of the USA. But we're a little bit different in the sense that we've got flooding and torrential rains and all that sort of stuff. So you guys have got the snow over there, we've got the rain. Okay, yes, cool. Hopefully that's given everyone a little bit. Well, the other thing I might mention also, I spoke about how remote this community is. It's fairly small. It's only a population of about 1,000 people at the moment. When I arrived here 12 years ago, that's what the population was. 6 years ago, we were up to 2,000, and now we're back down to 1,000. And it's quite common here, particularly when going to work of a morning, that we have the kangaroos that sort of jump around the streets, and we have quite a few kangaroos that are in and around the houses and the yards as you walk around the town. Okay, back over to you, Eskil.
Yes, okay, Shane. Well, thank you very much for that beautiful description of Australia. It's just the way I can see down under from here. Well, you have the kangaroos. We do have the moose, believe it or not. I live about 45 seconds miles to the north of Stockholm, pretty close to the international airport of Stockholm. And the village I live in is located, it's called Hisa. We have a population of 14,000 people. And just to the north of us, we have the university city of Uppsala. And where I live is slightly rural. So we have we do have a few moose which tend to come every winter. They tend to be in the garden, and of course when they are, it's kind of dicey to walk into the house because they can become a little bit too friendly, and they're kind of big animals.
And of course, we do have deer and foxes as well. So not as not really like kangaroos, but a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
So that's the way it is for us here in Sweden. Temperature right now is at -2 degrees Celsius, which is slightly under 32 degrees Fahrenheit, if I'm not mistaken. And of course, we do have snow on the ground.
Wow.
Okay. So we have about 13 minutes to go now, I see. And as I, Shane is a ham radio operator, and so am I. And I have been involved with the ARIS operation for 10 years now. I did my first contact in 2006 with our first Swedish astronaut. And Shane has been involved with the ARIS program a little bit longer than that. Yeah, we have some time to kill, Phil.
Yeah, it's interesting you say, Phil, because that time goes fairly fast. I was just looking at a post on the wall just then, and my first ARIS contact was on the 20th of March 2002. So it only seems like yesterday.
Yes, it does. And for those of you listening here now, Shane was the person who did my very first ARIS contact, which was a really nerve-wracking one because I had never done this before. And it was, not only was it my very first ARIS contact, which I had organized, but it was with the very first Swedish astronauts. And we were the only school in Sweden who were going to do this first contact. And it was extremely stressful, and Shane was the one who did the contact, and we had a beautiful audio, which was which is something I will never forget, and which you students in the United States right now will definitely enjoy. I can tell you that. Of course, I did not get the chance to ask any questions. That is only a privilege which is accorded to the students. So we have about 11 minutes to go. I'm going to ask the operator, Gabrielle. Thank you. Okay, we have about 10 minutes to go. In about 3 minutes, I'm going to start the script. And the script is basically a standard text I'm reading, which I'm following. And so that's what I'm going to start in about 3 minutes from now. I do have a big screen in front of me where I can see the ISS as it's leaving the coast of Asia, and it's approaching the Philippines. Its altitude right now is at, let me see here, 217 nautical miles altitude, which is, in statute miles, it's much more. Well, it's not much more, but I think it's about 250 statute miles. So it's quite high up, and it's moving along at 28,000 kilometers an hour, which in miles is a little bit less, of course. I've got that written down, about 17,500 miles an hour. So it's moving along quite nicely. Well, we have about 9 minutes to go. I think I'm going to start with the script, if that's okay with you, Shane.
Yeah, sure. It's still that's fine.
Yeah, okay, so that way we'll have some extra time to go.
Extra
4 minutes. Sounds good. All right. Hello, everyone. This is Eskil von Dose, SM5SRR, located in Knivsta, Sweden, and I am your moderator for today. Through the help of amateur radio volunteers, the crew of the ISS, and MCI, we soon hope to establish radio contact with the International Space Station as it flies more than 200 miles above the Earth over Australia. This is all accomplished with ARIS, amateur radio on the International Space Station. The ISS is currently flying over the Philippines, whizzing along at nearly 17,500 miles an hour, which is 4.9 miles a second.
The contact for today will be performed using the ARIS Telebridge Network, a worldwide network of amateur radio ground stations that enable students to contact the ISS. The phone connection is a courtesy of MCI. The audio of today's contact will also be available live around the world via the amateur radio Echolink and IRL feed networks handled by John, AG9D in Montgomery, Illinois. Thank you, John. ARIS is a consortium of volunteers from nine nations that develop and operate the amateur radio equipment on board the International Space Station. Those that support ARIS are the American Radio Relay League, the Worldwide AMSAT Amateur Radio Satellite Corporations, the Canadian Space Agency, the European Space Agency, the Japanese Space Agency, Roscosmos, the Russian Space Agency, and NASA. The amateur radio ground station that will establish contact with the ISS today is VK4T Kilo Hotel Zulu, located in Glendon, Queensland, Australia, and operated by Shane Lynn. Thank you for helping us today, Shane.
That's a real pleasure. Thanks.
Well, we have about 7 minutes to go until contact time, and our link up today will be with the students attending Christ the King School in Rutland, Vermont, USA. Now let's check in with the students and Cade McClellan. Cade, please tell us a little about the school and the students taking part today.
Hello, everybody. We are a Catholic school in Rutland, Vermont, about in the middle of the state. The students that will be asking questions are from grades 6 to 8. The weather today is nice. I think it's 45. We don't have any snow. It stopped raining. Did it stop raining? It stopped raining outside. And here's Mr. Estill. He's got...
Okay, I just want to say one thing. We have moose up here, too. Except our moose come right here into town.
The school is... The
school became operational in the year 1886. So we've been around for quite a while here. I can't tell you how excited we are to be participating in this project. We have a room full of children here and adults. We have aldermen from our city government. We have a press here also. We're very, very excited. And can't thank you enough for making this available to us.
Well, you're so welcome. I as you can probably hear by my accent, I did have the privilege and I was very fortunate to be able to spend 7 years in the United States. I was in California and in Florida, but I never had the pleasure of visiting Vermont. Now, when I hear the name Vermont, for some reason apples pop into mind, and I want to say that for me, Vermont, I associated with apple orchard. Am I right, or am I completely misplaced?
Yes, you're correct. That would probably be the Macintosh apple, most favorite apple here in Vermont.
Okay, so I was a bit misplaced then. But I do understand that you have some pretty good snowing stations there as well, or skiing stations, rather.
Well, about a month ago we did. We had a warm up here, and our ski slopes are disappearing quite rapidly right now.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Kate. Now let's go to Shane Lind, VK4 Kilo Hotel Zulu in Glendon, Australia. Shane, before the contact begins, please tell us about your station, where you are, and how you'll handle the conversation today.
Okay. Hi, this is John. Thank you. Okay. Well, a little bit about my station. Equipment we're using here today, as I mentioned earlier, I have two JCU-FTA-47s. Secondary transmitters feeding into an amplifier of a little over 100 watts. The antenna systems that we use are tracking antennas made by M2, which makes left and right hand circular polarization that we can switch between those. As I mentioned, the antennas will track, and all the tracking is done by SAT-PC32 software. So we've got duplicate stations here, and that's the back here of three of them in total. As I mentioned, we're located in the small semi-remote mining community of Glendon. This is a purpose-built town that was built in 1984. for the purposes of accommodating the local mine where I work. The town's about 200 kilometres inland from the city of Mackay in central Queensland. And where it is at the moment, about 4:26 a.m. in the morning. So the sun's not up yet. We've been up since about 3 o'clock in preparation, getting all the equipment prepared ready for this contact. Okay, so when we start and we establish contact, I know we've done a dry run, you know, the students sort of run through and their questions, but it's important to maintain that speed, as Estelle mentioned earlier. The quicker we can pass that microphone across to the next person and commence that question, the better chance we've got of getting through all 20 questions. And as Estelle also stated, please don't forget to say the word over after you finish the question, because that's my trigger. Switch between transmit and receive. Okay, Estelle, back over to you.
Okay, thank you very much, Shane. And thank you for that introduction. Well, we have about 2 minutes to go before the space station comes over the horizon in Queensland, Australia. Now, remember, what we are doing on ISS is an experiment. So we can never tell the results, positive or negative, until the experiment is over. And students, I can't say enough, don't forget to say over at the end of your question. Now, in about 2 minutes, the station should be coming in range of Glendon. So, Shane, it's all yours, and good luck.
Okay, thank you, Estelle. Okay, so if everyone can get in their positions, my antennas gone into quick mode now, so they're just tracking into position. We're still at about -4.5 degrees below the horizon. And as Estelle said, we've got just under 2 minutes to go. So if everyone can just get in their positions and get ready, and fingers crossed, hopefully everything will go nice and smoothly, and we'll have some good strong signals from the space station this morning. Okay, antennas now have tracked into position. We've got a little bit of time to go. Once I get acquisition of signal, I will commence calling, and I'll do a brief introduction once we establish contact. And once we have a good strong signal, I'll simply say, please go ahead, Christ the King School, with your first question. And that's when we're expecting that first student, Sophie, will commence her question. Okay, we haven't got long to go now. Hopefully everyone's not too nervous. And we're about to receive our position of signal. So everyone, please in your positions now. I'm going to commence calling in just a couple of moments. Don't be too concerned if we don't get anything on the first call. And we'll keep going until we've got signal. So stand by. Calling NA1SS, 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 to the Victor Kilo 4 Kilo Hotel Zulu, VK4KH, calling for scheduled contact. Can you receive? Over. NA1SS, NA1SS, this is Victor Kilo 4 Kilo Hotel Zulu, calling for a scheduled contact. Can you receive? Over.
Victor Kilo 4 Kilo Hotel Zulu.
Good morning, November Alpha 1, Sierra Sierra, from Victor Kilo 4 Kilo Hotel Zulu. Seems a little bit scratchy just at the moment, you're just coming up over the horizon. Then we have the student from Christ the King School in Rutland, Vermont, USA, standing by for you with their first question. Please go ahead, Sophie, with your first question.
I'm Sophia. Do the stars, sun, and moon look different in outer space? Over.
You know, the sun looks pretty much the same. It's very bright, although, it doesn't illuminate the atmosphere like it does on Earth, so what you see is a bright sun with a black background. The moon looks very similar, but the stars don't twinkle. Those are the main differences.
I'm Sophia. What technological benefits have been developed due to work on the ISS? Over.
Hi, Sophia. I really like your question because I think many people expect some sort of home run from what we do here at ISS. But when we develop technology, it's very incremental. So we've learned lots of things that advance technology. So, for example, we know more about cell biology, about how fluids work, how combustion products work, and what the effects are of zero gravity on the human body. And all these advance the state of science and technology over time.
How do you mentally prepare for going into space knowing all the risks? Over.
You know, Stephanie, we train for a very long time, not simply for this mission, but for all the other tasks that we have. And so I think that as a consequence of the good training that we have and knowing that there's a huge team on the ground that's all vying for a successful mission and for our safety, it gives us lots of confidence in our mission.
I'm Angela. What experiments are you currently conducting on the International Space Station? Over.
You know, we have over 200 experiments right now that we're conducting on the space station. Personally, what I'm spending a lot of time with right now is what's called the burning and suppression of solids. And so we're learning about the effect of zero gravity on combustion and trying to develop flame retardant materials.
My name is Matt. How were you chosen to be an astronaut? Over.
Hi, Matt. It was a very long process. I was in the military, and then I became a test pilot. And after applications and working at NASA, that was my primary path. But it's a very long road, and I feel very fortunate to get this job.
My name is Savannah. What physical training do you perform to prepare for the space flight? Over.
One of the most physically demanding aspects of our space flight, Savannah, is doing spacewalks, and so we need lots of upper body strength and endurance, and so all of us spend lots of time lifting weights and running and swimming and biking. It's also very important to know how to lift, because we have to lift with very heavy loads here to put weight on our joints and muscles to make sure that we stay strong.
My name is Julie. What were your first thoughts when you first boarded the ISS?
So as soon as I got on board, I was so grateful to get back here, because last time I was here was several years ago, and it was personally a long road, so I was very, very happy, one, to be back on board, and to see that I was on board with such a great crew.
My name is Anna Sophia. When did you start getting interested in becoming an astronaut? Over.
Hi, Anna. I waited a long time until I decided that I was interested in being an astronaut. I think I was 6 years old.
Hello, my name is Chase, and what are some risks you encounter on the ISS? Over.
A great question, Chase. You know, it's really interesting being here on station, because it feels as if it's very safe. We have a great environment, the temperature is normal, the air is clean, we have light, but we recognize that we have this vehicle that protects us, but outside of this vehicle is a vacuum, there's no air, and there's debris in space. And so those are really some of the dangers we encounter here. It's the debris in space that can potentially cause a depress event, and there's always a chance of a fire or potentially a toxic atmosphere here on board station. But we have lots of training to help mitigate those kinds of things.
I'm Boston. How long does it take to reach the ISS? Over.
Boston, we have a new technique now. We fly on a Soyuz rocket and spaceship, and we dock after four orbits, and that means that we're here after about 6 hours. So you wake up one morning and you go to bed on space station.
And Sophia, are you currently eating the food grown on the International Space Station Garden Experiment? Over.
Hi, Sophia. No, we're actually not eating any food from the ISS garden. You know, there was some lettuce that some good buddies of mine were able to eat when they were here a few months back. But right now, the experiment is flowers. You may have seen the zinnias that Scott Kelly is growing. They're really beautiful, but we're not going to eat them.
I'm Sophia. What advice would you give to a middle school student interested in becoming an astronaut? Over.
The best advice I could give a middle school student who's interested in becoming an astronaut is to work really hard in their classes and develop expertise in some sort of technical field, but also learn how to get along with people and work as a team. That is absolutely the most important aspect of being an astronaut.
Hi, I'm Stephanie. What motivates astronauts to go into space, and what do you hope to learn? Over.
Stephanie, that's a great question. I think all of us have different motivations to go into space, and all of us have different aspirations, but I think the one thing that drives all of us is that we're interested in science and technology, and we know how important it is for us to advance those fields and also advance humanity by learning about living in space. And so we hope to to learn what the next step is and also how to perform that step of being able to take people beyond low Earth orbit and perhaps to the moon and Mars someday.
I'm Angela. Do your sleep patterns change in space? Over.
You know, everybody has a different answer to how your sleep is in space. I think for most of us, sleep is not quite as good. You know, you're very relaxed because you're just floating inside your sleeping bag, but sometimes, you know, it's kind of nice to be able to have your back pressed up against a mattress and your head against a pillow. So I think that some of us sleep a little bit lighter here in space.
My name is Matt. Are there any activities on the ISS that you can do to that mimic gravity? Over.
You know, not really. The only thing that even feels a little bit like gravity is when we're on the treadmill, we have bungees that pull us down to the treadmill that we run on, and that's probably the closest we get to gravity.
I'm Savannah. What is the most exciting experience you have had on the ISS? Over.
I think the most exciting experience you can have on a space station is doing a spacewalk, and we've done a couple since we've been here, and it's pretty amazing to be in a spacesuit outside space station at work.
My name is Joey. How do you maintain your physical condition while in space? Over.
We exercise for about 2.5 hours every day. We have a treadmill with bungees that pull us down so we can run on that treadmill, a bicycle that is isolated from the vehicle, and so we're able to really get our heart rate very high. Then a piece of equipment called the Advanced Resistance Exercise Device that helps us lift weights, and it feels just like lifting weights at the gym.
I'm Anna Sophia. What kinds of things do you do with your free time? Over.
K1SS, K1SS, the K4KSET is still received here, mother. NA1SS, NA1SS, can you still receive, Kim? Over.
Keep on going if they can hear.
Okay, next question, please. Go ahead, Anna.
My name is Chase, and do you worry about space junk in the ISS? Over.
No, Chase, I don't worry about it. And the reason I don't worry is for several reasons. One, we have national assets that help ensure that we know exactly where all the large debris is. Two, we have a design on space station that will actually absorb smaller pieces of debris that was in station. And thirdly, we have a spaceship that we return home in if something were to happen.
Next question.
I'm Boston. How many days have you been in space? Do you ever get bored? Over.
I never, ever
everyone, we're about to lose signal with the International Space Station, so a big cheer and thank you to Kim, please, everyone. Okay, hopefully you received that okay, Kim. NA1SS, this is Victor Kilo, 4 Kilo Hotel Zulu, thank you very much, and now closing the link. 73s and good luck.
Thank you so much, I really enjoyed the questions. Smart kids.
Thanks, Team 73. Back over to you, Weston.
All right. Well, congratulations to all of you students and teachers of Christ the King School. You did get all the questions asked and answered, and you did hear what Tim Kopra said in his closing statement, which I really did pay notice to, which was smart kids. So, you know what? For the first time, I'm going to do the following. Yay! Excellent. I was really impressed with the way you did this. It went smoothly. It was, you know, a pro could not have done it better. Students, wonderful job. And I would like to suggest, since Shane did such a beautiful job doing the link up, I would suggest that you all give a warm round of applause to Shane Lind in Glennon, Australia.
Thanks, everyone.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have just shared a moment of history,
amateur radio station DK4 Kilo Hotel Zulu, operated by Shane Lynn. Contact with astronauts Ken Kopra, KE5UDN, aboard the International Space Station, who spoke with students attending Christ the King School in Rutland, Vermont, USA. Cade, do you have anything more you would wish to add?
No, just a big thanks again, and thanks for everything and helping us out.
Well, it was our pleasure. Now, for the international volunteer team of ARIS, including the amateur radio societies around the world and NASA, this is Esquil von Lozet, amateur radio station operator SM5SRR in Knivsta, Sweden, sending my greetings to all of you in amateur radio terms, 73, which means best wishes. And MTI...